Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, brought to you once again by the goodwill of patriots everywhere in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Let's take a moment and pray for our country. We'll be talking a little bit about some of the stuff that's coming up here in our area, but also for the country. September 26th in particular, National Day of Prayer, Fasting, and Repentance. Something that we should have been doing a long time ago, but we're now doing. And I want to just find in his will where we're supposed to be and how we need our steps ordered by God today. Just really find, find his will. Just dig in. So, Lord Jesus, we just come before you today. We just thank you for all the blessings that you have put on us, for allowing us to live in America, Lord. And Lord, we just ask right now, you would order our steps today. You would guide and direct our hearts today. Lord, that you would be present with us. And all the things that we've been hiding and holding and all the things we're supposed to be letting go, Lord, that you would just take those things from us today. Lord, we just lift up our country. We repent of the national evil of abortion. Lord, we thank you for delivering us from our enemies, those who seek to destroy Christians in the world, Marxists and Islamists particularly. We thank you for delivering us from them. And Lord, we thank you too that you are raising up leaders for this time in your strength, in your courage, and in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's move quickly into the international front. And before I do that, just a caveat of the time that we live in. I've been saying for a very long time that people should be prepared, that this isn't something to mess around about, that people should actually be prepared to love their neighbors in a crisis. We have an opportunity to prepare here coming up. We have a little bit of time left before things kick off in earnest, before the Marxists try to do what they're going to do, before we potentially could see battles in the street. And I want to, it's become so important to me that a document that I created years and years ago, that in fact some maligned, even though it was actually based off of the Federal Emergency Management Agency's guidance, which is funny that they would do that. It's about becoming a self-reliant American. And part one of this was published in Readout News. You can go to Readout News and you can find this, the actual document. And it starts off with the basics, food, water, and sundry items. Now, I've been teaching skills to reach a self-reliant lifestyle for many, many years and just being really simple about it. But there's something happening right now in this part of the country, the wheat harvest. And way back in the day, there was a guy named Joseph. And Joseph stored up wheat when he was warned of troubled times coming ahead, and then was able to bless people with food when those troubled times indeed came. So this was published again on Readout News. Sherry did a great job with this, Sherry Duvalli. There's a lot of other things than just food. Some of the things that people don't think about is sundry items. Shampoo, soap, toothpaste, toothbrushes, those kind of things. So this is a very comprehensive list in not only food and how to acquire water and some pretty interesting ways to acquire water too. Like treating large quantities of water with pool shock. It's something that a lot of people have been asking me about, and this is something you can share with your friends and family, even if they don't believe necessarily the same way you do politically. If everybody is prepared, then it makes all of us more resilient. Now, I want to highlight why I think this is important right now before I get to the international front. Why I think this is important right now is because there are entire trucking companies that may stop delivering to cities because of their policies. And then all of a sudden, the urban dwellers are going to understand where their soy and their latte milk comes from. The other part is that Black Lives Matter and the communists in America are already testing tactics. We saw these tactics tested overseas in Iraq and in Bosnia, actually, where they will cut off lines of communication. In other words, they'll cut off an entire freeway and then try to hold it for a period of time, which strangles the supply lines through those major urban areas. So it is a time to get prepared right now. They're testing these tactics, very likely for deployment here, starting Labor Day and then all the way up into the election, in and through the election. So while we are flush with food right now and wheat, it's the wheat harvest, and something like 80%+ of the wheat in the Palouse gets exported, we can prepare. We have some of it available. It's fairly easy to store. And we should have other staples as well. Now, I don't know what the deal is with the toilet paper thing. Okay, whatever. But toilet paper is important. Okay, but if you don't have enough food, it's not going to really matter. And we should all take the opportunity and store up right now. Now, some people call that hoarding, you know, guys like the writers from the Inlander and the Socialist Review, because they literally don't care about anybody else but themselves. They want people to not be prepared for these kind of things, and so they try to make fun of it. It's kind of an absurd position, logically, to have, but they do. And, you know, they've been called out, and they have been proven and discredited, proven wrong and discredited here for a long time now. So I want everybody to do every other patriot in America a favor. Stop listening to the people that are intentionally deceiving you. Stop reading the people that are intentionally deceiving you. Instead, do the loving thing. Be prepared so that you can bless some folks during hard times. And this is up on my Facebook page. I'm going to put this on the Patriot Radio Facebook page here too during the show if you want to take a look at the list. It's very, again, simple, but complete. And it shouldn't be too overwhelming. Especially considering that a lot of food can be purchased very cheap still here in the United States. I mean, compared to the rest of the world. So, take a look at that. All right, on the international front, we have a ton of stuff going on. We're going to go to the Middle East first. Lebanon continues to descend into chaos. Hezbollah, which is an Iranian terrorist proxy group, seems to be organizing there on the ground. There's also this new treaty between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And again, I talked about this before. There's a new alignment in the Middle East. Turkey believes that it is going to be the next caliphate. That's where the caliphate was abolished in 1924 by Kemal Ataturk, who was the father of the Turks. 4 years later, 1928, Hassan al-Banna started the Muslim Brotherhood specifically to reestablish a caliphate. Well, now where is the Muslim Brotherhood located? In Turkey. And al-Qardawi, their spiritual leader, has effectively anointed Recep Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, as the next caliph, effectively saying he has all of the qualifications, except one, until a couple of weeks ago. In 1924, Kemal Ataturk not only abolished the caliphate and created a secular government, but Kemal Ataturk also turned the Hagia Sophia. Now, the history of this, the Hagia Sophia was a Christian church until the sack of Constantinople by Islamic armies, the rape of nuns on the altar, and some other horrific things. And then it was turned into a mosque. Now, this happened everywhere that Muslim armies invaded in Europe. It's part of the reason in 732 for the rise of what we now know today as chivalry, because Christians understood that if they had the ability to fight back and didn't, then they were becoming complicit in the sin that was occurring through these invasions. There's a great book on this history called The Sword and the Scimitar, The Sword and the Scimitar by Raymond Ibrahim. I'm going to warn you, it is a brutal read, but it is historical documents, primary source documents from both sides that are used in that. So it's pretty comprehensive. And it's important to understand the Hagia Sophia in 1924 under Kemal Ataturk was turned into a museum. So after the caliphate was abolished, it was turned into a museum. A lot of Americans don't understand why. Well, the reason why is because it was the only place that the caliph could be ordained and instated. And so they figured turning it into a museum, they would never have to worry about a caliphate again. Well, guess what happened a few weeks ago? Recep Erdogan turned the Hagia Sophia back into a mosque. Again, this is in preparation. So when you see the alignment now happening in the Middle East, you have Turkey, Iran, and a bunch of other proxies like Qatar versus Saudi Arabia, who still believes they're the big kid on the block, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, and now Israel. And so what is shaping up as a war in the Middle East of quite literally biblical proportions? In addition to that, Jordan, the country of Jordan, used to be the caretaker family of Mecca and Medina, the caretaker tribe of Mecca and Medina. But the Saudis kicked the Hashemite kingdom out, and that became the country of Jordan. And so now Jordan is gravitating back toward Turkey and Recep Erdogan, because they believe if Turkey becomes the next caliphate, then they will return to their proper caretaker status of Mecca and Medina. And so Jordan is beginning to ally with Turkey. Now, this is a lot of folks don't understand why Jordan would do that. Jordan's a friend of the United States. Well, you have to understand the history of the Middle East, or you just miss this completely. So it's a lot bigger than just Israel and the UAE normalizing relations. What we are now seeing is essentially like a Cold War in the Middle East, with these sides facing off. It's also the reason that Turkey has been sending troops and proxies into, and I should just say proxies, into Libya, or what's left of it. All right. Also, on the national front, and this coming to us from the New American. Kamala Harris's revolutionary Maoist ties. Senator Kamala Harris, now vice presidential running mate of Joe Biden, has dramatic and confirmed Maoist ties, as exposed by Trevor Loud. Now, that shouldn't be a huge surprise. At least I hope that's not a surprise to everybody. But the fact of the matter is, that is what is happening in America. We quite literally are choosing between liberty and communism. It's not even about political parties anymore. It's between liberty and communism. And interestingly, you have some Republicans aligning with the communist narrative in America, either because they're just absolutely beyond ignorant, have not read the history of all this stuff, or they're doing it intentionally. Either way, fake Republicans are becoming the most dangerous thing in America. They're more dangerous than Democrats. I mean, at least with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, we kind of know which direction they're headed. You know, it's the people that try to put a mask on and fake being something else, and then all of a sudden they're aligning with the enemies of this country. And this is not hyperbole. This is where we're at. I've heard so many things, you know, oh, Trump this, your argument's irrelevant. This is between liberty and communism, pure and simple. And if you don't understand that, and I beg you, please read more, understand the history and the time and era that we live in right now. Also on the national front, coming from the New American, a fascinating commentary. The Democrat convention lost the mainstream media. The virtual event was virtually, quote, unwatchable, end quote. Right. It was really fascinating watching the psychology of this. Quite literally, in the Democrat circles, they believe that they just can't lose this election. There's just no way they can lose. And they're going to lose handily. But I want to tip you off to, I don't know how you describe it. It's like a political war game that was conducted in June, and it was in regards to the election and the aftermath of the election. Particularly interesting was page 17, game 3 of this study. Now, I don't want to get too complicated with it, but essentially, what was being proposed as the most likely course of action, and this was published, and I'm going to make sure this is downloaded too, in case they try to pull this off the net, and I'll post it separately if I need to. But this was put on in June by the Transition Integrity Project, or TIP. It was like supposedly a bipartisan group of over 100 current and former senior government and campaign leaders and other experts in a series of 2020 election crisis scenario planning exercises. Well, page 17, and I actually retweeted this. This is on my Twitter feed. Page 17 of this, game 3, the most likely scenario is a clear Trump win. But that actually ends up in a constitutional crisis with threats of secession by, get this, Like, this is like no joke. They literally planned along this line. Okay. Threats of secession, and in another game that they theorized, it was actually called for as part of the political strategy. Secession by Western states of California, Oregon, and Washington, collectively known as, quote, Cascadia, that this secession threat would be used as leverage against Congress to agree to a set of structural reforms to fix our, quote, democratic system, end quote. We obviously don't have a democratic system. We live in a Republican form of government. To ensure majority rule. In other words, what they would try to do as they would, as a plan, if Trump wins, this is what they're wargaming. They would plan for Oregon, Washington, and California to secede from the Union. And as a compromise to keep them in the Union, and by the way, everybody listening to this radio show right now, if you did not hear what I just said at the beginning, this is 100 of the most senior campaign strategists and government advisors, okay, in America that wargame this. Right? This isn't just some group of pikers kind of just doing whatever. These are supposed experts. And they're saying that this is a very likely scenario where the Biden campaign is going to encourage Western states to secede from the Union. Now, if that becomes the scenario, then Liberty State will stay in the Union. And then it says that that threat will be used to give statehood to Washington, D.C., which is unconstitutional, and Puerto Rico, and then divide California into five states to more accurately represent its population in the Senate. Now, we've talked about the five-state California issue before. Also, as part of this, they would require Supreme Court justices to retire at 70 and then eliminate the Electoral College. That would be the bargaining chip to try to keep California, Washington, and Oregon in the Union if Trump wins. Folks, you've got to see this. I'm reading from this study, okay? From this war game. If Trump wins, this is where they're going to go with this. Now, remember, they've already projected onto patriots. I'm talking communists like Sean Vestal and some of these other so-called journalists. They're really not. They're just propaganda agents. They have projected onto patriots. The patriots want to secede when all along it looks like it was their plan to use the threats of secession to try to fundamentally change America. And oh, by the way, rely on Republicans giving into this. Now, remember, you heard this in August before the election. So if you get a chance, take a look at these. There's four games that they were gamed out. One was an ambiguous election result. The other was a clear Biden victory. Game three that I just mentioned was a clear Trump win, the most likely scenario. And then game four, a narrow Biden win. All the stuff that is happening in America, these so-called protests, everything, they're not protests. This is violent Marxist action with coordinated nonviolent Marxist action. These are communists trying to overthrow the Constitution in this country. The fact they even war game this is absolutely incredible to me. Anyway, it's incredible to me. So you heard it on Patriot Radio. First, I doubt any mainstream outlet is ever going to carry something like that. Even though, again, just so we're clear, over 100 current and former senior government and campaign leaders and other experts were part of this crisis scenario planning exercise. All right. Also on the national front, It's coming to us from InfoWars. Obama's ex-doctor has now said, regarding Joe Biden's mental state, he's just lost. So clearly they're setting up Kamala Harris to be in the running if they think Joe's going to win. And Joe's not going to win. He's just not going to win. All right. Also on the national front, is coming to us from Understanding the Threat. And if you don't subscribe to Understanding the Threat, I just strongly urge you to do so. Between that and the New American, incredible resource. So former Ohio Governor John Kasich, New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman, former Congressman and Google executive Susan Molinari, and some other CEO as well. We're kind of behind, and these are Republicans, by the way. We're effectively getting behind Joe Biden. And these establishment Republicans are effectively controlled opposition. And UTT has a great article on that. But effectively, these folks are supposed to be turning the masses against Trump. Just don't. Here's the deal. Here's a lesson for life. You guys ready for this? Don't follow a rhino. Also on the national front, it's coming to us from UTT as well. Former CIA officer was arrested and charged with espionage. Who was he spying for? China. Another example of the infiltration that has happened in America. Coming to us from Big League Politics, the scamdemic. Texas officials have announced officially that their COVID-19 case numbers, now this is Texas, folks, their COVID-19 case numbers were fake due to system upgrades and coding errors. Yeah. Happening all over the country, apparently. Darn coding errors. Blame your computer when stuff goes wrong. I hope people really aren't believing that, because it's just not true. It just seems very clear. This has been what it has appeared from the beginning, and that is an effort to control and try to transform America and to try to take out President Trump. Now, I mentioned last week briefly a couple of things that had happened, then we're going to get to our guest. There were a couple of very egregious occurrences that happened on the regional front here in Washington. I know that's not a surprise to most of you. I do want to give a positive, though, before I get to the egregious ones. And the positive is this. There were salvations, healings, revival in downtown Seattle. Antifa tried to come against Sean Feucht and the revival that's happening there in the former autonomous zone. And in fact, the Satanists, the same Satanists had come to the Capitol in Olympia during session, apparently showed up down there in downtown Seattle, and one of them actually came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. That's awesome. But what I want to talk about is two things regarding immigration that happened in our region. First, in Oregon, a district attorney and Tom Homan from Fox News called for this gal to resign. But this district attorney and he apparently went and attended an anti-ICE protest where they were trying to block ICE agents from doing their due diligence down in Bend, Oregon. Clearly a conflict of interest. I mean, defense attorney should have a heyday with that, getting that guy kicked off of every single case that he's ever been on. Then secondly, in Washington State, Governor Inslee created a $40 million fund for illegal immigrants. I don't know how he did that without legislative approval. So we have small businesses closing down, people suffering, and Governor Inslee wants to spend $40 million on taxpayer money on illegals. Crazy but true. And it's happening right now in Washington State. On the local front tonight, downtown Spokane at Planned Parenthood, the church at Planned Parenthood, Greg Locke is going to be there. Right after that, we're going to have a revival service at Covenant Church. Look forward to seeing you all there. And in addition, coming up on September 26th, get ready for a national day of prayer, fasting, and repentance. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to all of you for praying for us. And go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember, Patriot Radio is on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce William Gein. We tried to get him on last week. We had a massive technical failure. He's with Americans for Legal Immigration. What a novel concept that is. William, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Hey, glad to be with you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect this time.
Great.
So we had this situation in Washington where Governor Inslee wants to throw $40 million of taxpayer funds at illegal immigrants. It's pretty incredible, but Washington is leading the way in some bad stuff right now. What are your thoughts on this and where this is headed here over the next 6 months, especially on the immigration issue?
Well, just imagine how many homes and small businesses that could save. I mean, $40 million, you could save hundreds, if not thousands, of people from being thrown out of their homes, losing their businesses they've sunk their lives in. But the globalists, they really want to keep the illegal immigrants here. One of the things that we've done at Alipac.us is try to help people understand the big picture about why the illegals here are here, why they're being supported by both Republicans and Democrats, big businesses, big banks, all of that. And, you know, they want to make sure that illegals don't start leaving the country because the globalists have been pumping them in here for many years with the goal of transforming this country into a more pliable and governable type of economic block where national borders become like state borders.
And that's exactly what they said in Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto that they wanted to do. They're just kind of following their plan. President Trump has been fighting back on some of this, but some of it, it seems like it's just compromise rules the day, but it ultimately hurts law-abiding legal immigrants to the United States of America.
Well, they do, and most of our supporters of our group, which Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, we go by ALIPAC, I'd say about 90% of our supporters, even the legal immigrant supporters, favor reductions in legal immigration levels back to more traditional levels prior to the 1980s. But we wanted to have the name that showed our general, you know, respect for people. We do value people that come here from other countries that respect America, care about America, swear an oath to the Constitution with a tear in their eye with their family, you know, taking pictures kind of thing. But that's all being exploited, too. You know, we have hyper levels of legal immigration that are hurting American workers and hurting the country. And then we have rampant illegal immigration. And the big secret, well, it depends on who you are, but the big secret that many Republicans don't seem to understand is that there's nothing stopping these non-citizens, both legal and illegal, from voting. There's a box on the form. It says, are you a U.S. citizen? And if you check it, then you will be registered and you will be allowed to vote, and there are no safeguards taking place on the county, state, or federal level to detect people who shouldn't do that. One of our missions between now and the election is to inform as many people as possible about that. And if you go to our website at alipac.us, in the most favorite post sections near the top, you'll see a list of 63 different examples, proof of non-citizens voting all across the country. The other big thing that we're telling people about is they need to understand when they look at their election results on election night that Silicon Valley bias joining the mainstream media's bias is going to have a big, big impact on what you see on election night. So many people out there who are Trump voters, Republicans, or simply opponents of the socialists are being shadow banned and abused in terrible ways on social media, and it's going to have a big impact. It's going to have an impact on county commissions, sheriff races, state legislative races. You name it. Democrats, they go out, they say something on social media, all the H-1B workers from India and China, along with their billionaire masters like Mark Zuckerberg, make sure everybody hears about it. You go in there and say something that they don't like, hey, look, The BLM movement is responsible for the murder of children now, and got people out there who are killing 5-year-old kids in North Carolina and 7-year-old children in Atlanta, Georgia, and the media is covering all that up. Well, they'll sandbag us. They'll make sure the smallest number of people possible hear what we have to say. But the next time they come running along with a fake news story like the Duke lacrosse story, the Michael Brown hands up, don't shoot story, the Trayvon Martin was murdered by an evil white man story, all those type of things, they'll run those up the flagpole, make sure everybody hears it for weeks and months. But then when something happens, it should have ended BLM, stopped the illegal immigration. They can it. I've watched these news sources, as we call them, or mainstream news, I've watched them censor and block and hide and conceal mass atrocities by illegal aliens against American citizens for years.
Let's talk about the voting part of it, because we've had this issue up here in Washington State for a long time. I brought this up in the legislature. It was, poo-pooed, even though we had specific examples. Give the listeners some specific examples of where illegal immigrants are actually voting. And it's not just the voting part of it, but being counted in the census, which also has a profound impact on elections.
Well, let's see here. In our list, which is titled List of Evidence Proving Non-Citizens Vote in U.S. Elections, Legal and Illegal Immigrants, August 16th, 2020, was the last update. We just updated that. So March 5th, there's an article about how state officials and lawmakers from California and Texas and Pennsylvania and West Virginia are raising concerns over the threat that non-citizen voter rolls pose a threat to the integrity of the U.S. elections. On Fox and Friends, and Tommy Lahren raising the alarm there. February 21st, 2020, and there's a lady who, she spent 8 years in prison, Rosa Maria, for illegal voting in Texas. Apparently the country got in an uproar about it, and now there is a debate on whether she's going to be deported after she serves her time in jail for being caught voting illegally. Here's a good one. January 21st, 2020, an error, and I quote, put that in quotes, an error in Illinois' new automatic voter registration system led to a possible 545 non-U.S. citizens being registered to vote, 16 of whom cast ballots, state officials publicly acknowledged this week. Now, that case is interesting. These are people who actually checked the box saying, no, I'm not a citizen. But 545 were still let through and processed to register, and 16 of those voted. So that's like that small tip of the iceberg. Just imagine, this may shock your listeners and the host, but illegal immigrants lie about things. They lie about a lot of things. And they don't need no stinking badges. They can check that box. And, especially in the deep, dark blue zones. Here's one from Sacramento, California, the deep socialist state of California, which was turned from a Republican state to a permanent socialist democratic blue state by Reagan's amnesty in 1986. I think it took just a couple of years for that amnesty to take hold, and shortly after that, illegal immigrants already vote, but if you give them amnesty and citizenship, they vote for Democrats in even larger numbers. And we know that they vote about 90% Democrat from surveys and polls and the examples of states like California. But December 10, 2019, Sacramento, California, a Mexican national who assumed an American's identity to vote in 5 federal elections was sentenced Tuesday, back then, for 3 years, 9 months in prison in federal courtroom in Sacramento. Gustavo Arroyo Lerma, 64, was convicted by a jury in August of aggravated identity theft, making a false statement on a passport application, and 5 counts of voting by illegal alien in federal elections. Now, and I got to point this out, this very rare that we catch or somebody gets sentenced like this. Usually the police are engaging with this illegal immigrant for other crimes, and then they find the voter registration card, and they go, they go check, and they're looking to throw the book at them and add a lot of stuff to the charges quite often because they were involved in broader criminal conduct, because we're dealing with a criminal culture here. All throughout Mexico and Central and South America, criminal culture is celebrated. It's worse than rap music in America. And so, a lot of times they get them on other things. So it's very rare that we get a little glimpse behind the mirror. Here's one more I'll point out for you. July 2019, Nearly 1 million Californians registered to vote are ineligible, says nonpartisan group. Voter registration rates exceed the eligible population range from 103% in Ventura, San Benito, and Plumas counties to 115% in San Diego. Other counties, including San Mateo, 104%, Solano and Santa Cruz at 107%, Los Angeles at 109%. So usually in most states where voter registration has not been overrun by non-citizens and illegal aliens yet, you only get a smaller percentage of the eligible population registering to vote. But in these counties, they've got more people registered than the eligible to vote. And that's a pretty big sign that there's a lot of illegals in there. One of the big examples, I don't know if you were watching the issue back in 2010, but 2010 was when I was banned from Fox News. I was the first, I'd been on Fox News probably three or four times a year from 2006 through 2010. In 2010, Gretchen Carlson invited me to be an in-studio guest, the first guest of the day on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010. That was the big Tea Party election day. And all across the country, the Tea Party was rising and ready to sweep the nation. And I went on Fox News at 5:30 in the morning, and I said that we've collected significant evidence at alipac.us that the Democratic Party is actively engaged in the registration and get-out-the-vote efforts, including non-citizens and illegal immigrants, and that they are going to planning to use these illegal voters to stop the Tea Party wave. Now, that was the last time you heard William Gein of Alipac on a national news thing. Somebody, Karl Rove, Lindsey Graham, probably a bunch of people picked up the phone and said, get this guy off the air now. So the Tea Party movement swept all around the nation and the East Coast as polls open and close. But all of a sudden, when you got west of the Mississippi, things didn't go so well in places like Nevada and Oregon and Washington State and California, places where the illegal immigrants and their masters are more comfortable. And the biggest example we pulled out of that was Clark County, Las Vegas, Nevada. Harry Reid, who upon entering the reelection phase of 2010, had an approval rating of 9%, and that's pretty bad. Less than 1 out of 10 voters or likely voters liked him or approved him, and we had a very strong female conservative candidate run against him, Sharon Angle. Sharon Angle mopped up the floor with Harry Reid in every single county in Nevada, except for one, the most populous one around Las Vegas, which is stuffed full of hotels and restaurants that employ large volumes of illegal immigrants. And they all turned out and voted for Harry Reid and saved him. And basically, we proved it later when two things happened. Someone in a local Vegas newspaper interviewed some illegals and said, yeah, we voted. A bunch of us voted. Yeah, sure we did. So we had a Las Vegas newspaper article about illegal immigrants saying, yeah, I voted for Harry Reid. Then we had some emails that were leaked. Basically, the upper management threatening middle management because enough of their staffers in the hospitality industry had not voted yet. And the unions, like the different Democratic unions, I can't name them all, but they've got like 100 different unions for the restaurant workers and the groundskeepers and everybody else. These were all operating like political machinery of the Democratic Party that they are. And they had voting lists of everybody or list of everybody that had registered to vote, including illegals. And the companies, like some of the casinos, had emails that were being sent to middle managers saying, we know which one of your employees have and have not voted yet, and if you value your job, you're going to make sure that the rest of them vote now. And so, we have newspaper articles, we have leaked emails about these people pushing people for illegal voters. So Harry Reid went on to stay in the Senate for another, 6 to 8 years, owing his entire existence in Washington, D.C. to illegal immigrant voters. And it's just disgusting. But, a lot of Republicans act like they don't know anything about that. So Alipac's main mission between now and Election Day, we have an open letter that we're circulating. And one of the things I hope your listeners will consider doing is getting on our email alerts. We never share anybody's information. But at alipac.us, that's alipac.us, we're going to be sending this letter. We've been working on it already. We've got hard copies that are about to be sent to every Republican incumbent in Washington, D.C., and we're about to do a national press release, if not tomorrow, probably Thursday morning, about this letter. And basically, I don't know what we have, about 80 days left till Election Day. One of the main things that we're going to be focused on is getting this open letter, which references the list on the website. So if somebody gets the letter and they're like, hey, I don't know if I believe this. I mean, is Silicon Valley censoring conservatives really a problem? And then if you go to our list of conservatives censored by Silicon Valley companies, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, we just updated it. It jumped from 94 listings of conservatives that have been abused and shadow banned and banned in 2019 to 141 so far for 2020. And we're not even done with the year yet. So I think when you wanted to have me on last week, you also had some interest in our local story about young Cannon Hennett.
Yes, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, and then also this DA out of Oregon, because it just seems like it's no longer just kind of an oops thing that we're seeing these oversights. I think it's intentional, very clearly intentional. So let's start with this young 5-year-old boy, just one of the most tragic things I've heard of. Go ahead and take the ball.
Well, it was, what day is it now? It was Sunday a week ago. Cannon Hennett was playing on his bike in his yard in Wilson, North Carolina, and a black man that lived next door ran out of the house, ran up to him, executed him point-blank range with a pistol shot to the head in front of his sisters who were also playing in the yard. Neighbors across the street saw this happen. Some people, when they first heard about it, tried to excuse it, said, oh, it must have been one of those neighborhood crossfire kind of things. But no, he ran up to the boy and, you know. The guy reportedly uses and probably was on drugs and all that other stuff. But, you know, I know it came out in the local media the next day on Monday, and I heard about it quickly because this is less than 40 minutes from our base of operations here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so I started, you know, sharing some memes on the Alipac social media. We've got a lot of people on social media, although they sandbag us and make sure that our snowballs don't turn into avalanches usually. But then on Thursday, like 4 days afterwards, I read an article from The Blaze telling me that the hashtag say his name was trending on Twitter because people were upset that the mainstream media was not covering this story. And so I went over to Google, I put in Cannon Hennett, I pulled up the Google News search engine. It was all over the Wilson Times newspaper, WREL, Raleigh's News and Observer. All of the local television and newspapers were reporting about Cannon Hennett. And these papers, of course, have many members of the Associated Press working for them and access to the Associated Press. And this is clearly a story of national interest. And but nothing on CNN, nothing on the New York Times, nothing on MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, Huffington Post, Washington Post, nothing. And to confirm it, I went over to their websites because, you know, sometimes there's a delay on the search engines. And I went to each one of those websites, and I typed in the name Hennett. Zero came up. So that night, Thursday, what was the date on it? Thursday the 13th, I put together a meme, a picture of young Cannon, and overlapped it. I put the hashtag say his name, and then I put media blackout, and I listed these bad actors by name. And I put it across all of our social media, and people started sharing it like wildfire. And then I didn't send it out to the Alipac.us email alerts just yet because it wasn't immigration-related, but I've got a big old press list. You're on it now, too, that we made contact. I really appreciate that. It's got about 700 members of the media across the country, including people at CNN, Washington Post, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all of these people that I'm mentioning in the meme. And I sent it to them. It wasn't a formal press release. It was titled it National Press Advisory. And I put the time on it, 7:45 p.m., you know, Thursday, August 13th. The next day, most of those publications finally wrote something about the story. Many of them left the race of the perpetrator out, or the race factor out of their report, and did their, you know, biggest to softball and to play it down. In fact, CNN put out their blurb at 1 o'clock in the morning. So they left it. That way they could say, oh, we did something, but, you know, you had to be, like, looking at the CNN website at 1 to 4 a.m. to actually catch it. So, but, you know, I think that there were a lot of people working really hard to try to get that story out, but I think that our meme, because it quickly got shared by thousands and thousands of people, and our press release may have jogged some of the logs loose. Well, imagine my surprise on, so, you know, we put out the release on the 13th. The national media, which sat on top of this story for 5 days, okay, and one of the things I want to insert right here that almost everybody on our list knows is true. If the races of the people involved in this story were reversed and a white man had walked up and executed a 5-year-old black or Hispanic child at point blank range with a pistol, it would have been up every flagpole by Monday afternoon. And the uproar would still be going on, and stuff, and the cities would be burning. There would be riots, looting, murders, rapes, city blocks burned to the ground. And everybody on the planet would have heard the name Cannon Hennett. I know this. I know this not because I'm a racist and I'm out trying to bash somebody. I know this because I've been observing how these people work for decades. And this is how they roll. Cannon's life doesn't matter to them. Doesn't fit their political narrative. They don't tell people about it. And there's a good chance that anti-white racism was part of why this happened. There's a good chance that this man who did this was inspired by the bogus, biased, fake news, racial animosity stir-up efforts of CNN, of CBS, ABC, Huffington Post, all these different sources that got sued by the Covington High School kids. The liars, the people who are making, stirring up racial hate in this country, they probably have some culpability in it. I mean, if I was the parent of the child that this happened to, I would be talking to lawyers and say, look, I want to sue all these people that wouldn't tell anybody about my kid's murder. I think they won't tell anybody about it because if they hold that murder up, it doesn't fit their narrative, and their narrative is stirring up people to do bad things like this. And but imagine my surprise when I went to log in on Facebook on Saturday, the 15th, put out the press release on the 13th, those media sources finally started reporting on the 14th. On the 15th, my meme was flagged by Facebook fact checkers saying, no, it's not true that the media is not reporting on Cannon Hennett. Look at all these, here's the meme. Yeah. Here's what people said in reaction to the meme. And then down here, look at these sources, CNN, Washington Times, New York Times, da-da-da-da. Well, if you go and actually click on the sources, they all show you that they ran this after I put my meme out, after I put my press release out on the 14th and 15th. So they claimed that my meme, which was completely accurate when I launched it, is false because things changed afterwards. Using this type of logic, you can make everything in the world false in the past. And so we put out another release telling everybody, wow. So now the fact checkers and on Facebook are actively trying to help cover up the media blackout. It's bad enough that the media blacked this story out. It's bad enough when they ran it. They barely ran it. They ran it once or twice. It's bad enough we all know that they would have run it, oh gosh, if the races of the victim and perpetrator were inverted, each one of those publications would have done 5, 10, 15 different updates on it by now. And and then when he put the truth out, they put a little thing calling William Gein a liar. Because it's my name over. William Gein shared a meme, and this is what it says. I can't tell you exactly what it's about yet, you know, but I just got a notice right when we were getting ready to go on the show. I don't know if they've added a new layer to it or if they've changed it. Now I just got a notice that meme is partly false information found in your post. Earlier it was, you know, false information found in your post. Now I'm looking at partly false information found in my post. Let me tell you, I have never put out any false information. In the 16 years I've been running a national organization and being quoted in every publication around the country and the planet at some point or another, I've only ever had to issue a retraction to one press release back in 2006 when a little girl lied to the police about a case. and we were citing the police report. And we found out that she had lied and that the police report and the article we were citing were incorrect. We put out a retraction. That was one time in 16 years that we've ever had to retract something. It wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
But these people are calling me a liar because I told the truth on them. And so there we see direct, and of course the fact checkers, most of the fact checkers that are working for Facebook to do this type of stuff used to or worked for CNN online, stuff like that. We've looked at a lot of their online profiles and most of
clearly,
them.
Clearly, yeah, clearly they're liberals. Yeah, no question about it. We've got about 30 seconds left. In the last 30 seconds, William, can you plug where people can go find out more information? A lot of great resources, and we want to get that information out there.
We really need your support by joining our email alerts at alipac.us. That's alipac.us. We've got social media for you as a matter of convenience, but to bypass the censorship we face on a regular basis, those email alerts are our bread and butter and how we have been able to organize folks nationally.
Awesome. William Gain, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight. The truth will win out in the end. I hope that encourages you, and I know it. I know you've gone through some stuff, but keep up the fight because we need folks like you out there making sure that these people are called on the carpet for the lies they're doing in this attempted destruction of America.
Really appreciate that. Hope to be back sometime.
All right. William Gain, I'm going to give you the site here very quickly again. He is with AliPac, Americans for Legal Immigration. It is AliPac.us, AliPac.us. He gave those specific concrete details of illegal immigrants voting in America. You can go there and educate your friends and family. It's important to do this right now. These guys are ramping up. We've got to all be in the fight. This is Matt Shea. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless.